Have you ever wondered why we cover it before and after? When I was a kid, I always used to wonder why. because we don't have flies in here. But then, that's the way we show respect. That means that it's something important to us. That it's not just plain bread and plain juice or wine in some cases, but it represents to us something special, something that we share. Let me go back to here. Yeah, because we Baptists always say, we don't have any liturgy, we don't have any traditions. And we do. Everybody has traditions. The important thing is that we don't have if we have to make sure we don't have traditions that are against Scripture. Like worshiping idols. It's very easy for us to say, we're Christians, we don't worship idols. And some people, some Christians, they revere people through statues that some people may call them idols. But we have all those things that come from tradition as well. We have the stained glass windows because people, they look nice. Now they look nice, of course. We say, so beautiful. But in the beginning, they had them because people didn't read. So those ancient churches, and now they find new things, new frescoes. I don't know if you saw in the news. I'm into a lot of archaeology. So in the news, there was this last week that they found something in Pompeii, a whole wall, like if you go to a restaurant and say, I want chicken, I want this. So they had a whole wall of animals and things that people could buy to eat. Very nice. I mean, imagine 2,000 years after, they still have those things. So in the church, they used to have stained glass, or even the catacombs, they used to have paintings just to represent the Bible, the stories, and even to commemorate somebody's death, like some martyr that died, how they die, eaten by lions. That's why if you go into Google and you put Google images and you type martyrs images, you're gonna see a lot of ancient frescoes of people that die in the Colosseum. Or somewhere else. San Sebastian, remember, because I have an uncle who's named Sebastian. And you can find San Sebastian with a lot of arrows into him because that's how he died. So we have things that we may look like we're breaking the second commandment. So I'm going to read them again. And God spoke all these commandments. No, what does the text say? And God spoke all these words. Within Judaism, it's not usually called the Ten Commandments. Why we call them so much the Ten Commandments today? Because there's a movie. There's a movie called the Ten Commandments. So we pick up on the movie and we call it the Ten Commandments. But in the Bible, it doesn't say about commandments. It talks about words. When I was doing this, this song came to my mind. I don't know, those of you who are into the 80s music, words don't come easy to me. And why? And what is he singing there? He wants to have words so he can start a relationship with this woman. And these are 10 words that God wants to have relationship with us. How is that girl or a boy, well, most likely a boy will have to find words to tell the girl, I like you? 3 very hard words to say to a girl. Man, I never said them to my wife. said, "That you wanna be my girlfriend? You have to." Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, that's what I said. You wanna be my girlfriend? You have to fill these requirements. And you can ask her later. But that's what I actually said. If you wanna be my girlfriend, I wanna be a pastor. So, and she said yes. I don't know how, but she said yes. So sometimes you don't have words to talk to people. You don't know how to work because nobody taught you how to do it. But God knew how to talk to his own people. So he put 10 words. And the first one he says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt." So he makes them remember, what did I do for you? Oh yeah, I brought you out of slavery. Out of the land of slavery. And then he goes on. "You shall have no other gods before me." And then number four, you should not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow to them or worship them. Because some people say, oh, God, the Bible contradicts itself. Why? Because in the temple, or in the tabernacle, if you remember, they have a bull, 12 bulls, and on top of them, there's like a basin. So that's making an image. Or in the temple, there's an image of cherubims. So God is contradicting himself. No. The Bible says, you should not bow down to them or worship them. Nobody worship in front of the bulls or in front of the cherubims. For I am the Lord your God. Remember when I break the bread, I always put emphasis. This is my body which is broken for you. Not for anybody else, but for you specifically. For my people. So, I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God. Punishing the children. And why is God saying he's jealous? And this is the thing. Oh, this sounds like a bad guy because jealousy is seen as a bad thing. But if a wife doesn't feel jealous of her husband, then the husband can go out with someone, with everybody else? No, yeah. The wife says, you're mine. And the husband does the same thing. So the Lord is saying, I am your God. You are my people. I'm jealous if you go out with all these other gods. Because the other gods, they didn't mind. They didn't mind. The other peoples didn't mind going out after other gods. It was expected because there was a God for rain. There was a God for the sun. There was a God for fertility. And there was our favorite God. Oh, our favorite marble God. Who's this? Who can think of? The God of... Nobody sees movies here. The God of thunder. Thor. Loki is the God of... is a trickster God. And so. Poseidon. He's the God of the sea. I know you have seen this, Clash of the Titans. You've seen that one, yeah? Clash of the Titans. Well, I love mythology. I actually listen to a podcast every week about a mythological creature. So I know more or less about this because it interests me because it has to do with the Bible most of the time. So we are the people of the one true God. But as we have seen, it requires us not to worship other gods, not to bow to other gods. Why? Because he's punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. This is where we hear the word commandment, finally, at the end of the third commandment. Or the third word. So in today's society, one God can be as good as another. You worship your God, it's good for you. I'm glad that you worship God, but I'm going to worship this God. biblical times, they were a plurality of gods for every single need. And that has crossed over to our society as well. I'm going to talk about it because I come from Latin America, and if you know anything about Catholicism, Catholics, they even have a saint. Like, if you need a girlfriend, you have a saint, Saint Anthony. You pray to that saint, you go to church, you pay your homage, and hopefully you get a boyfriend or girlfriend. Or you have another type of saint, saints for healing, San Rafael, and so on. And in the times of the Bible, they also had those things, like I mentioned Baal and his wife Asherah. So they were these two gods that they were into fertility, and as adults you can imagine what that involves. They had a temple, and they got together men and women, and they did detestable things in there, and that's why the Lord destroyed them. I mentioned Poseidon. Poseidon was a god of the sea in Greek mythology. So you pray to him if you want to have a nice trip. And of course, Nordic gods. The gods from Scandinavia. Loki, Thor. What's their father's name, if anybody remembers? David? Odin, yes. Odin, yes. So all these gods. There's a god for anything you need. But then this god from these little people, these little 70 people out of that went into Egypt, or 72, depending of which part of the Bible you're reading. These people, then they come out of Egypt and they confess only one God. And remember the 10 plagues? You seen the 10 commandments? Remember 10 plagues? Each, and I think I preached about this before, or I have a study in my blog. Each plague is against one particular God. And the last God that they fight against is the God of life and death, Horus. And what does God do? He kills the firstborns. So from the first plague to the last plague, this is a war against gods. Who's going to be the real God? Israel's, the slaves' God, or the Pharaoh's God? Gods. And Pharaoh thought that he was the son of God, that he was a God as well. So nobody could stand up to him. Who's the Lord? I don't know him. Remember when Moses showed up? Who's the Lord? I don't know him. Why should I listen to him? I am Pharaoh. And so when you read that, it says, oh, I am God. I mean, why should I listen to other gods? And look what happened. So you have a lot of gods doing little things like taking care of the weather. I wish. I wish sometimes that would be so, Thor, don't make it rain so hard, or don't make it thunder so hard. No, God, the God of Israel is the one who takes care of everything. He's not only the God of the desert, but he's also the God of the valley. He's also the God of the sea. Remember in Job, and not Job, in Jonah. Jonah in the belly of the fish. how does that song go? In the belly of the whale. I've been sleeping with the fishes in the belly of the whale. That's a good song. And what happened? Oh, they were praying to their gods. Oh, they were all praying to their gods. But then Jonas woke up and said, oh, you know what? I serve the one true God. And I'm running away from him. So if you throw me into the sea, everything will come down. And they said, no, we'll keep on praying. He said, no, this is not going to stop unless you do what I tell you, because I serve the one true God. And when they threw him overboard, what happened? Come again. And what did those people do? They worship the Lord. Because the Lord, he's not limited to a geography or limited to science. Although he works within science, he works within the laws that he put on nature, but he's not limited to them. So Israel was required, expected, not to worship other gods. We are Israel, according to Ephesians 2, verse 11 to 22. We're part of that people of God as well. So we are not to worship idols either. Yahweh is the name that we think that's the way you're supposed to pronounce God's name. And as I said, how can you come out of Egypt and right away worship a calf? The golden calf, remember that? That was a representation of one of the gods of Egypt. But they said, no. We don't know what happened to Moses. I'm not going to read because this is a long one. But we don't know. Moses went up the mountain and it's been 80 days, or 40 days, and we don't know what happened to this guy. So they asked Moses, they asked Aaron to do something. So what did Aaron ask? You remember the story? He asked for all the gold that they had. So he took all the gold, and the first account of this, he says he fashioned a calf. And then he said, this is the God that took you out of Egypt, the calf. Why? Because our God has never been seen. Yahweh, no one has seen him. So it's like in their mind, we have to put ourselves in their mind. In their mind is Moses just hearing voices inside his head. And he says that he sees things, but we don't know. Because they're so used to having an idol in front of them, worshiping it. Sometimes we're so hard on them. Why are they so idolatrous? But that's the way they think. I was telling my wife yesterday, or my kids, imagine Moses coming to life. Right now we're watching TV, we're watching the news. And imagine Moses saying, how did these people get into this box? And going behind them and said, how come I can see them? So that's how apart we are. So Moses comes down. The Lord tell Moses, oh, look, your people have gone astray. And Moses comes down from the mountain. And what does he do? He breaks the law. He breaks the 10 words, the 10 commandments. And he asked Aaron, why? What have you done? And Aaron says, oh, the people got worried and they got desperate and they gave me their gold and I threw it in the furnace and out of it came out this golden calf. So he didn't do it. Do you remember somebody else in the book of Genesis who also blamed somebody else because of what they done? Adam and then Eve and then, you know, this is the same trope. I didn't do it. And they worship this calf and they call it Yahweh. This is the God who took you out of Egypt. No, it isn't. Because God doesn't want anything to represent him. Only one thing, and we're going to see. So the Israelites were prone to follow other gods. And I don't want to touch much on this issue, but I want to mention this. Are there really other gods? Are there really other spiritual beings that call themselves gods? And I'm going to say, yes. There are other beings that call themselves gods in the Bible. Do they have any power? Remember the magicians of Egypt? They started doing things, and there was one last thing that they couldn't do. And can you help me, Ruth? Which one in the? Because I remember the name in English. When they got these things that scratchy. Huh? The lice, yes. One of the plagues was that, and they couldn't cope with it, and they tried to reproduce it, but they couldn't. And what did they say? This is the finger of God. And then when they asked Jesus, by what power do you do this? What did he say? By the finger of God. So who's Jesus? God. So Jesus, who is he fighting against? The God of this world. So they're really gods. And next week, we're going to see we're going to see Samuel talking to Saul talking to dead Samuel. And why in the law of God says not to do that. Because there's only one God that we have to trust. Not the dead, not other gods. Only the Lord. So the Israelites were prone to follow other gods. In Judges 2, the angel of the Lord cries because they have followed other gods already. I mean, Joshua died, and what did they do? They follow other gods. They don't waste time. It says, chapter 2, Judges, the angel of the Lord, which is, who's the angel of the Lord? Who? Jesus went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I brought you out of Egypt and led you into the land I swore to give your ancestors. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall not make a covenant with the people of this land, but you shall break down their altars. Yet you have disobeyed me. Why have you done this? And I have also said, I will not drive them out before you. They will become traps for you, and their gods will become snares to you. Some people say, oh, these gods are make-believe gods. Well, God doesn't say that. Unless God lies, which he doesn't. So God takes this seriously. And this is a fierce battle of the gods in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is quite interesting because you see all this battle against false gods. And in 2 Kings 21:7 says, he took the carved Asherah pole he had made and put it in the temple. They put an idol in the temple of the Lord. In the temple, of which the Lord has said to David and to his son Solomon, in this temple and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. Again, my name. Who's the name of the Lord? Who's the word of the Lord? Jesus. So, the Israelites were so idolatrous that they put an idol right in God's temple. Does the church that do that? Does the church does that today? Thankfully, before that, Ezekiel 8. Ezekiel 8 is even worse. And then you wonder, why did God take his people out of the land? Because they were worshiping other gods in God's own temple. Ezekiel 8, and I'm just going to read some verses. Then he brought me to the entrance of the court. I looked and I saw a hole in the wall. He said to me, "Son of man, now dig into the wall." So I dug into the wall and I saw a doorway there. And he said to me, "Go in and see the wicked and detestable things they are doing there." So I went in, and this is the temple of the Lord. So I went in and looked, and I saw portrayed all over the walls all kinds of crawling things and unclean animals and all the idols of Israel. In front of them stood 70 elders of Israel. 70 elders of Israel. Where do you hear these 70 again? In the book of Daniel. Where do you hear these 70 again? In the Gospels, where Jesus sends the disciples. So you are either in God's side of 70 or in the devil's side of 70. In front of them stood 70 elders. Oh, and also you hear this in the book of Exodus, the 70 elders that went up with Moses. So all these 70 represent the people of God. So 70 elders of Israel. And Jaazaniah, son of Shaphan, was standing among them. Each had a censer in his hand, and a fragrant cloud of incense was rising. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen what the elders of Israel are doing in the darkness, each at the shrine of his own idol? They say, 'The Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land.'" Again, he said, "You will see them doing things that are even more detestable." So these people not only brought an idol into the temple of the Lord, but also worship idols inside and said, "No, the Lord doesn't see. The Lord does not see anything." And we have us Christians doing the same thing today. Because we have we know how we live. All of us know that we are not as holy as the Lord requires us to be holy. Starting from the one here, from the pulpit down, all of us are not holy people. We are called holy people by the Lord, but we need to follow Jesus' words, Jesus' commandments. We need to take up Jesus' cross. We have idols, my brothers and sisters. They can be of any type. How can somebody really, really hurt me? Burning my books. Yeah, because I love my books. And sometimes I have to come down. And this is something that I have since I'm a boy. Because my mom used to tell me, "I used to give you money to buy things for you, and you used to buy a book." But it also can be music. It can be YouTube, the internet, your job. Because that may take precedence from following the Lord. But let me give you good news. There was a king who came and he broke all of that. That was King, where is it? 2 Kings 18. 2 Kings 18. 1-4. "In the third day of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old, and he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made for up to that time the Israelites had been burning incense to it. It was called Nehushtan. So even what God had used to deliver the people of Israel, remember the bronze snake? that God got mad at them, got mad at the Israelites because they were murmuring, and God sent snakes to kill them. And then they asked for forgiveness, and they asked for them to be pardoned, to be forgiven. And what happened? God said, put out this bronze snake, and whoever looks at it will be healed. And what did Jesus say in the New Testament? Just as Moses raised up the snake in the desert, the Son of Man will be raised up as well. Again, we see Jesus in that. But what happened? They turned that into an idol that needed to be destroyed. So even things that God uses to bless us, to save us, may become an idol. Let us finish. We have also been delivered from slavery. If you read Romans 6, 1 to 7, and 1 Corinthians 10, 1 to 20, I recommend that you do, because I'm running out of time. It talks about how we have been delivered not only from slavery of sin, but Corinthians also talks about slavery to demons. Slavery to demons. And we're going to see that in our third week, how Jesus, I'm going to do it the third week of my sermons. We'll see how Jesus confronts demons and the devil, and then finally we're going to see how Paul and the rest of the New Testament confronts that. So I'm inviting you to come. But let me tell you one thing, one last thing. The church right now is having through a very hard time this week, particular week. If you see Christian news or that sort of thing, we have one of our leaders in the faith in the last 40 years who has passed away. I'm talking about Ravi Zacharias. They found out, well, actually, let me tell you one thing. They didn't find out. I've known this for 3 years. I've been saying that this happened. Nobody believed me. I've been demonizing the internet about it. But now, finally, Ravi Zacharias International Ministries commissioned an investigation, and they found out that, yes, he did many bad things for many, many, many years with women. And a lot of people have said that cannot be true. But the wife and the daughters, they have said that, yeah, it was true. He has been named the biggest apologist, which means Christian defender of our generation. And the churches follow him. And many people are in pain because this man has been proven that he was pulling the wool off our eyes all these years. Why do people do that? Because they earn $40 million a year. That's what he was getting for the last 5, 6, 7 years. $40 million a year. That's a lot of money. Nobody wants to let that go. But the thing is that the church made an idol that didn't question him at all. And now a lot of people are saying, who do we trust now? We trust Jesus, my brothers and sisters. We only trust him. All of us need to renew our hearts and our minds. We are gonna fail in something. But our trust is only in the only one idol that we can that we can worship. The only one icon in Greek. The only one icon that we can worship, according to Colossians 1:15, is Jesus. The only one who has never fallen is Jesus. The only one who has never lied is Jesus. The only one who will never fail us is Jesus. Yes, we trust men. We love our brothers and sisters. But let me be assured, don't make idols of people. I was going to preach about this like a month ago when Pastor Andrew came to ask me if I could preach in January. But this is what happened this week. And like I said, I've been saying this for years and nobody believed me. Everybody thought I was just gossiping. But I had the proof, but nobody believed me. But then they made their own thing. And my main thing, my main aim was, don't make idols out of people. Even myself, I cherish certain theologians a lot. And somebody asked me, what if this theologian falls? Well, my faith is in Jesus, not in him. Who has faith in Jesus here? He is the only one that will never fail us. And when one of us fails, what does the Bible say? We go and pray for them and bring them back, the book of James says. And let me finish with this verse. In the last verse of 1 John 5:21, to let you see how serious this idolatry issue is in the church. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Dear church, let us keep ourselves from idols. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says that all these things that I have talked about this morning with my brothers and sisters, about your people in the Old Testament, Paul says that they are examples for us so we don't fall into the same errors. Lord, you have promised that if we fall into the same errors, in 1 John chapter 2, it says that if we confess our sins, you will forgive us. So Lord, look at our hearts. If we have fallen into idolatry, if we have fallen into putting anything else before you, forgive us, Lord. And teach us to keep our eyes on you. Because you are the one who died for us, who gave everything for us, so we could have eternal life.